Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Now, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care, it's our weekly conversation with Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Did you know that, doctor, that mother and child reunion is about an egg chicken dish on a menu?
I don't know how I missed that. I didn't know that, John. Because how many thousands of times have we heard that song over the years?
I was thinking, how many times have you and I spoke, and finally I was able to tell you something? I want you to walk around the halls of that hospital and say, hey, did you know? And they'll say, wow, that's so interesting. Where did you hear it? And then you say, that John Williams told me. I want you to do that for me today, okay?
I had continuing medical education today from Mr. Williams. That's what I'll say.
I don't know if it's medical education. By the way, Tracy Morgan is in the news today. He was at a Knicks game at Madison Square Garden, became violently ill, had to be wheeled off. He had vomited, and his nose was bleeding. He says it's food poisoning. Maybe it is, and maybe it's none of my beeswax, but does that sound like food poisoning to you, doctor?
Well, I think there were two things that happened with Stacy Morgan. According to what we saw at the Knicks game yesterday, he had food poisoning, he vomited, and unfortunately, on the court.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it was pretty classy on X. He thanked the people who came to clean up after him. I thought that was a very nice touch. We don't know about the bloody nose, John, but Stacy Morgan has had some pretty significant medical problems in the past. He's had a kidney transplant, and he's also had some other medical problems. So I'm wondering if some of the medications that he's taking, together with having food poisoning, explains the condition that he was in yesterday.
Yeah. He also tweeted, more importantly, the Knicks are now 1-0 when I throw up on the court, so maybe I'll have to break it out again in the playoffs. Speaking of medication that we take, who should and shouldn't take calcium and vitamin D supplements? To say nothing of vitamin A, which is sort of in vogue right now, but do you have any thoughts about vitamin supplements in general and vitamin D particularly?
So if somebody eats a well-balanced diet with lots of fresh vegetables, for the most part, in the right kinds of proteins, for the most part, we do not need to supplement our vitamins. There's some people who like to do that, and in particular, as we get older, John, depending on how somebody's dietary habits develop with age, taking a good multivitamin is not a bad idea. The vitamin D calcium combination is something which is very effective as people get older and their bones start thinning out.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Not as dense and strong mm-hmm. as they were. And bone metabolism is very much an equilibrium having to do with things like calcium that we take in our diet, vitamin D, which is really important for bone health, and also sunshine, believe it or not, because sunshine is how our body can actually make vitamin D. So as people get older, particularly women, as we start thinking about osteopenia that can lead to osteoporosis and the increased risk of a fracture, a bone fracture, taking vitamin D and calcium could be a very good idea.
One other drug or supplement that is, well, to be a drug in this case, that is in the news is Larzepam, is how she says it in The White Lotus. I don't know if you've watched that show. Parker Posey plays a wealthy financier's wife, and she's popping Larzepam all the time. Her husband discovers it, and it seems like he instantly gets addicted to these downers, or benzos, as they're called. There's a storyline in another medical drama called The Pit where people are popping these. Are you familiar with that drug? Is that on people's radar right now?
Yeah, sure. It's Larzepam. And she's from Texas. I'm actually watching White Lotus, and I like it. So I've been watching that subplot having to do with Larzepam and alcohol.
Yeah.
Not a great combination for anybody. Larzepam is from a class of medications called benzodiazepines. benzodiazepines include well-known drugs like Valium. What we're talking about here is there's Ativan, Xanax. These are the well-known drugs, Klonopin, that fall into the benzodiazepine class. We use them for lots of different things. What the concern is, and what the White Lotus show is helping to illustrate, Jen, is what happens is when these drugs are not used correctly, they can be abused, and they also can become addictive for people. And then we can run into a real problem. We read that the last year that we have data, I think it was 2019, there was something like 100 million doses of these medications prescribed.
Wow.
In the United States. That's a lot of prescriptions.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people who are taking this. And I, as a primary care internal medicine physician, I use these medications with my patients when I believe they can be helpful and they are appropriate. But we have to be really careful about the amount of it that's used in the course of a day, the length of time a patient is taking it, and we have to be very clear about why it is that a person
is it anxiety,
prescribed
doctor?
This. Yeah, for some people it's for anxiety, particularly for short-term anxiety that has a direct cause. Somebody's having a hard time dealing with it. These medicines can be really effective.
I can see how somebody would want to stay on it, though.
Yeah, a lot of people find that it really is helpful. And it can be a medication that can be used for more than a short period of time if it's used correctly and in the right dose.
Yeah. Boy, you must hate, though, to prescribe that. Well, maybe you don't, but it just seems to me like it is so fraught with the opportunity for abuse, addictiveness.
Yeah, you know, and it's true for so many of the medications that we use, John, that are so effective. Think about pain medications, right? The opioid pain medications. And it's been in the news so much appropriately. These medications are fantastic when used appropriately. But when somebody becomes dependent on them, it's a huge, huge problem.
Dr. Jeffrey Copin from Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Doctor, there is such a thing as a measles booster. Is that right?
Well, the good news is most of us do not need it. If you're born before 1957, you had measles. Everybody had it. Even if you don't remember, you had it. So you're fine. You had natural measles. You're good. The people between, say, 1958, 1963, almost all of us had measles. You're going to be fine. It's people after 1963, when the measles vaccine was available. There's a small group of people from the 1960s who got vaccinated then who probably would do well getting another measles vaccine just because of the type of vaccine that was given
right
at that part of the 1960s. The other group, John, if somebody's immunosuppressed for whatever reason today, even if you were previously vaccinated or if you had a natural measles infection, it's worth talking to your physician about whether you should get a measles booster. You might be able to benefit from it,
yeah.
Somebody who's in that situation.
Is it an MMR I'm going to get, doctor? Is that what it is then, like the kids?
Yeah, it would be an MMR.
I'll be darned. Okay. All right. We're going to go talk to our friend Lisa Dent now. You're our friend, too. And we always appreciate you joining us, Doc.
Everybody take good care. Be well. Bye-bye.